Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a real joy to be with you here today as we celebrate the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit to the apostles and to the church, and as the gospel goes forth to all the ends of the earth for the salvation of God's people. But we do have to begin and say, why is it necessary that the gospel has to go to all the ends of the earth? And to find that answer, we see it already in the beginning, in creation. That as God creates Adam and Eve, he makes them in his image. He gives them his word and his faith. But it does not take very long, does it, for the deceiving serpent to come to them with another word, to tempt them that somehow God was holding out on them, that they could be like God himself. And so they departed from the way of God and from his word, and they fell into sin, seeking their own way, that they knew better than God himself did. And not only did they fall into sin, but our whole world was plunged into sin, the consequences of which we still feel and know in and of ourselves even today. And yet, for as much as this sin separated them from God, and it separated them from the garden where God had placed them, before God sent them into the world, he gave them a promise that he would send the seed who would crush the serpent's head. He would send them a Savior who would defeat the old evil foe, forgive their sins, and give to them eternal life. And it is with this hope that they'd go out into the world. Now, sin causes separation. It causes strife and contention, pain and sorrow. We see this throughout the Old Testament. Indeed, in the days and the ages following the great flood in Noah's ark, even though the world at that point still had a unified language, there was great sin in the land. It says that the men of that age, they gathered together and they said, "We need to make a name for ourselves. Let's build a tower up to the heavens." Why? "So that we're not scattered over the face of the earth," they said, their words. They were afraid. And so they had devised their own way, their own path, their own gods, separate and different than the one true God. They thought that they knew better. But God came down and confused the language of the people at Babel. Their work stopped, and they stumbled off as they were scattered to all the ends of the earth. And from that day of the confusing of languages, we see the results. There is strife. There is contention. There is wars and rumors of wars between tribes and nations. And we see it even in our own lives, in families, and in friends. Sin causes separation. It causes pain. It turns us in and ourselves and away from God who loves us. The path of the world is wide and it is easy. And it is a path that leads to destruction and death. It is not the path that we are called to follow. But on this day of Pentecost, we hear and are reminded of the great work and salvation of our Lord. For 50 days after Easter, God sends his Holy Spirit to his apostles, that they would come out into the light of the world and they would proclaim the salvation of Jesus Christ our Lord. This really is something miraculous, because if you will recall the last 50 days of Easter, you've likely heard in the lessons throughout the weeks how the apostles, well, they weren't exactly the most excited and zealous of sharers of the gospel. We don't find them on the streets of Jerusalem proclaiming that Jesus is risen from the dead. Rather, we find them, more often than not, locked behind closed doors, trembling with fear, fearing for their lives. Sharing the gospel of Christ was the last thing on their minds. But now, as our Lord has ascended into heaven, he promises that he would send them a helper, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would guide them and lead them in their ways. And on this day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, the apostles, in the forgiveness of their sins, know that peace which surpasses all understanding, that peace which only comes in Jesus Christ our Lord. And they step out from the shadows in their places of fear, and they go out into the streets of Jerusalem, into the midst of their enemies, and they proclaim the saving gospel of Christ, that he is risen from the dead and he lives and reigns to all eternity. And they call the people to repentance, to turn from their sins, and to turn in faith to Jesus. That, my friends in Christ, is the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit comes to draw us not to himself, but to draw us to Christ, to point us to Jesus, who is our Savior, to work in us the forgiveness of our sins, and to share that gospel with a world that is desperately in need of forgiveness, life, and salvation that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, on that day, he miraculously equipped those apostles to proclaim the gospel of Christ in all the languages of the world, so that the people who were gathered together heard that saving gospel in their own native heart language, that faith might be kindled and that they would believe. They, in turn, were then also equipped to go out into the world to proclaim the gospel of Christ to all the people and nations. Now, we don't know whether each of the apostles was given the ability to speak all the languages or if they were each given just a few, a little toolbox for them to use. I thought it was interesting. I was reading St. Chrysostom as he was talking about the day of Pentecost, and he pictured it kind of like a great call day service. That the Holy Spirit came and they were each given a number of languages and those languages determined what regions they went off to. Well, we don't know if that's true or not, but it was a nice thought in that he is emphasizing that point that the gospel must go out to the ends of the earth. And indeed, it does. We heard not too long after this day of Pentecost of Philip, who goes to meets the Ethiopian eunuch. And he proclaims the gospel to him, and the Ethiopian says, well, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? What a joy it is to hear of that lesson and to know that already there the Holy Spirit was working and bringing the gospel of Christ not only to all the ends of the earth, but even to places like Ethiopia where we have been called to serve. You see, the joy of the Spirit is he calls us all to serve in our own vocations, in our own places. He has called us to serve and share his gospel, whether it's right here in Chandler, as you share the gospel with your own family and friends and neighbors, or whether the Lord calls us in other times to go to places like Ethiopia or other countries around the world. In all those places, the Spirit works through his word and through his means of grace to use us to share the gospel of Christ, that people might be forgiven, that they might have life and salvation with us in God's kingdom. And so as we prepare to go, we're not the first to go to Ethiopia, and we certainly will not be the last. But many have gone before as Christ sends his church into the world. And he sends us because that's who God is. You see, God loves the world so much that he first sends his Son to suffer and die for our sins, to give to us eternal life. And then he, risen and ascended on high, sends forth us. He sends forth his church into the world to share that gospel, to have forgiveness and life. And so, as the apostles scattered, each of them sharing the gospel and yet also facing hardship and persecution as they did so, one such apostle is called to my mind frequently, and that is Matthew. Because Matthew followed after and he went down into the land of Ethiopia and he joined up with that Ethiopian eunuch and the two of them together proclaimed the salvation of Christ, calling sinners to repentance and faith. And it was in that land that Matthew met a martyr's death as he died for the sake of the gospel. It is through their work that the gospel has come to us even today. And what a joy and a privilege it is for each of us and our own callings and our own vocations to be servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherever he has called us, with the people that he has placed in our lives. So thanks be to God that he has called us together here in this place to receive his forgiveness, to hear his word, to be pointed to Christ in his means of grace, that we might be strengthened in the one true faith, that we might have that peace of God which surpasses all understanding, that peace which is only found in Jesus, and that we might be strengthened then for life here in this world, but also for life eternal in God's kingdom to come. And that is a strengthening that we need, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is the same faith and strength that all around the world need. And indeed, there is one church, there is one faith, there is one Lord Jesus Christ. And whether we're here in Chandler or we're in Ethiopia, we are united together as one body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God for that, and may God bless you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.